Did you ever see those TV shows of the 1950s that looked at how, in the future, advances in technology would have robots doing our work, giving us lots of free time by the year 2000? What a laugh. We are working more now than in the 1950s. In fact, on average, we work 350 hours per year, nearly 9 full weeks longer than our peers in Western Europe. That fact comes from timeday.org, a website created to promote the latest effort of John DeGraff, a documentary filmmaker for PBS. Take Back Your Time Day is the brainchild of John and the Simplicity Forum, and is the subject of our discussion today. John, thanks for coming down to Auburn and being on the show.
My pleasure. Thanks for inviting me.
Well, it's excellent work that you do. Very impressed with the tenor of the work, the quality of it, and I'm glad that you're here.
Well, thank you very much.
People may know your name from Affluenza and Escape from Affluenza, a couple of PBS documentaries, which touched a theme similar to what you're trying to do with Take Back Your Time Day. Can we trace your interest in this issue to some time spent on an Indian reservation?
You could. You certainly can trace my interest in the whole issue of consuming and whether happiness brings what happiness brings us. I worked in 1969. I was a teacher on the Navajo Indian Reservation in Shiprock, New Mexico, at a boarding school, teaching kids who were among the poorest in the country. I think at that time their family income was something like $600 a year. I mean, hard to believe. Even at those, the way prices were then. And yet those kids who came with the shirts on their back, we had very little at the school. Never did I have a kid tell me they were bored. They didn't have anything to do. The kids were always making up things. They were very happy, contented, well-adjusted kids. Now, a little later, many of their lives were impacted by racism and alcoholism and things like that. But at that time, these were the most well-adjusted kids I had seen. I went home that Christmas and spent a little time with my brother, who was the same age as the kids I was teaching, and his friends. And their rooms all looked a little bit like Toys R Us stores. And yet these kids were always bored. It was always, we have nothing to do. What do we do? They didn't have all the video games to play with in those days. And so when they... the toys all got shoved aside after Christmas, and the kids were bored. And I knew then, it was pretty clear that all of this stuff can work the opposite way in terms of making us happy, content.
And for those who missed Affluenza, give us a thumbnail sketch of that.
Well, Affluenza is a sort of tongue-in-cheek, it's a tongue-in-cheek word, but it's a look at our over-consuming habits in the United States, really how much stuff we have, and the impacts of all of that stuff on family life, on personal stress, on the environment, on other countries, and the way we're seen in the world, and so forth. And kind of a plea to begin to look toward more simple, less possessive and materialistic lifestyles. And it certainly fits right in with the issue of time that I'm now working on.
Yeah. The figure that I saw was that North America has 5% of the world's population and uses 30% of its resources. Is that accurate?
25 to 30% depends on whose figures you see, but it's definitely up there. And it's estimated that if everybody in the world were to suddenly adopt the American lifestyle, we'd need about 4 extra planets.
Not likely to happen here in the next 20 or 30 years.
Not getting the planets.
Air conditioning on Venus maybe is something we can shoot for.
Yeah, it's a big issue. And part of the whole impetus for Take Back Your Time Day came from a meeting of the Simplicity Forum, which I was asked to join after the Affluenza series. This is a group of people who are looking, who are sort of a leadership think tank for the voluntary simplicity movement and looking for ways to reduce American consumption. And one of the things we worried about is that we sort of seem to many people to be like a self-deprivation movement, that it's all about sacrifice. Don't have this stuff, don't do this, don't drive this, etc. And we don't feel that way, but we really felt it was necessary to talk to people about what, in fact, they could gain by simpler, less consumptive lifestyles. And the one thing we all realize is that what we in America especially do have to gain by consuming less and by trading some some of our productivity not for stuff, is to gain time to live our lives. And that if we'd actually made the decision 30 years ago when all the predictions were made that we'd have all this time, if we'd made the decision to take some of our productivity in the form of time instead of money and stuff, we'd have a lot more time today.
Yeah, some of those statistics on the website are rather startling. You say we're working more than medieval peasants did and more than do the citizens of any industrial country. Where does that information come from?
It comes from different studies that have been done. The look at medieval peasants comes from the work of Ben Honeycutt, a historian, and also Juliet Shore, who wrote the book The Overworked American. The estimate is that medieval peasants worked in about a 9-hour work day on average, longer in the summer, shorter in the winter, far longer, of course, when the harvests were in order. But they also enjoyed as many as 150 religious holidays a year, and that reduced their average annual work time to something between 1,500 and 1,600 hours. By contrast, we Americans work about 1,980 hours a year, according to the latest International Labor Organization statistics.
Yeah, you talk about how our economic system is diametrically opposed to what you're talking about. I mean, it's based on consumption. William Grider was on the show and he said, unfettered growth is the philosophy of the cancer cell.
Yeah, I got that from Edward Abbey.
Is that where it came from?
Yeah, originally, uh-huh. Well, absolutely. I mean, no, I don't know if I want to completely indict the entire economic system, but certainly the choices that we've made within our economic system, I think we could have made different choices. Certainly the Western European countries operate under the same basic capitalist economic system, and yet they have made different choices that have given them considerably more time. Now, it's harder because there's all the pressure to consume, the advertising, all those things, but as countries, they've done it. They've just simply determined that we want to take part of our productivity in the form of leisure, in the form of time. So they have much longer vacations than we do, shorter work weeks, policies that really give them a life of balance. And I think that's what it's all about. It's not about rejecting consumerism or things. It's not about rejecting work, because we know that meaningful work is important to the happy life. It's about finding balance in our lives, about not making producing and consuming the be-all and end-all of life, but balancing those things with other values like health and family and community and the environment. The Europeans talk about wanting a balanced life, and that's what I think we Americans need to talk more about.